Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell. Guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, now let's get into the show. Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres to keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that other good stuff. Always love to connect with you there. And as always, if you'd like to apply to become a co-author of one of my upcoming books, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Become an Author to Apply. All right, so today is a very special episode for those of you that have been following the series. Today I have my very special guest and co-host, Kamar Zaman, who is the founder of, and we work with almost daily, I'd say, now at this point. So first off, Kamar, I just want to say, hey, welcome back to the show. Happy to have you back on.
Thank you. I'm very excited again to be here today and discuss the new topic.
So, Kamar, you always come with the great topics. And for those of you, again, that haven't been listening to this series for that long, so Kamar, I bring him on once a week, and he's my guru. He's the person that I go to, and I have those other questions as a business owner and as a media personality. I'm like, how are we doing this? Like, this is what we're doing. How can we do it a little bit better? Like, how? Because that's the whole idea. Like, how do we continue to get better and better as entrepreneurs, as business owners, and increase our digital footprint, which is important for everyone. So today's topic, and another great one proposed by Kamar, so how to write content that ranks on Google. So let me repeat that. Today's topic, how to write content that ranks on Google. Kamar, this is what you're doing, man, day in and day out. So where do you want to start with this one?
All right. So today's topic, like you said, is how to write website content that ranks on Google. And why did I choose this topic? So I want to give you some context. So we did some content topics again, you know, in June, and now we are in August coming to an end. And Google has gone through a lot of changes to updates. They have made changes. Google is always making changes to improve user experience. So I wanted to kind of bring this topic back in the bucket, because we are doing a lot of work. When I say we, you know, Adam, we, you guys, business owners, we do a lot of work writing content. And the reason we do that, because we want to rank on Google. And the reason we want to rank on Google so we can have more transactions and, you know, have more revenue for the business. So it's important that we have a game plan rather than just sitting and writing this content. So that's the reason I chose this. And because there has been a lot of change in Google, I want to really demystify and take out a lot of fluff that a lot of SEO companies make you believe, and that's not true. So nothing against the SEO companies, but this is my roadmap.
And Kamar, I want to throw this out there, because you like what you're saying about some of the fluff and some of the things that people say, because I feel like who hasn't received an email or something like, hey, we can rank you number one on Google. Hey, we can rank this on number one on Google. And it's like, well, geez, like everybody ranks number one at Google. How do you become number two then? Like all the marketing that's been done around that has kind of, at least for me, I can't speak for anybody else, but it's even desensitized me to that concept. I'm like, rank number one at Google. Like, okay. So I'm like, it just seems odd to me. So I just wanted to confirm what you were saying, because I get that stuff all the time.
And that's true. I get newsletters. I get phone calls. Can I get you on the first page of Google? You know, and I said, no, thank you. You know, I hang up. So my content topic is not about how to rank first or number one on Google, but how to do good work so you will ultimately and always rank and not drop off. So I'm giving you some really organic, you know, guidance here, rather than just, I'm not giving you any recipe that you will be on first page and first spot on Google. That's not what we are covering here.
Awesome. I just wanted to clarify that. Continue, please.
Yeah. Sure. This was about 20 years ago when I started the business. I heard this old adage from a marketing guy. And at that time, Google was really new or starting off. And he taught me, he says, if you want to know how John Smith buys, you have to see the world through his eyes. And his name was actually Adam also. And I said, Adam, what do you mean? And he says, Kumar, it does not matter whether there's Google or Bing or Yahoo, you have to write for users. And if you write for the user, then you will always be successful. Fast forward 23 years from now, you know, while that friend of mine passed away, that theory that he taught me, that recipe that he left with me, it still works. And we have gone through 23 years of Google, at least I have. And whatever he taught me, I followed the plan and it has not changed at all. So that still works while Google continues to do its thing. If you believe in that foundation that I'm giving you, I think that foundation will keep working no matter what. And we will be doing this another interview 10 years from now. And you will think, you know, there's something new. So that's not going to change.
That's awesome. So, like, first off, when you think about industries, niches, things like that, a lot of business owners, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of executives listen to this show and they're looking for marketing tips, marketing advice in general, just trying to extend their reach and footprint. So does this, like, give me a feel for this. Like, what is this work best for? Like, what kind of companies, what kind of...
This recipe is for everyone. Whether you are a plumber or you're a lawyer or a dentist, what I'm giving you today, you can just wear a different hat and it'll work. Now, if you're a lawyer, obviously, you have to do things differently. And in today's case example, I'm doing an example of a divorce lawyer in LA. So you can take away that. But if you are a personal injury lawyer in LA, my recipe works. If you're a plumber in LA, my recipe works. All you have to do is just build the foundation. If the foundation is done right, then everything is done right. It's kind of going to a personal trainer that says, you know, I want to build the body. The foundation, each body is different, but the core principles remain to be the same. You know, it's not different for Adam or Kumar. It's just our body types are different, but the foundation remains to be the same. Because I work with from air filtration companies to doctors and lawyers. The core principle that I've adapted in my business still is the same. It's just that I pivot differently for each business. And that I'll also show you today in this guide. So it's kind of like a 30-minute, one-hour guide that we are doing.
Fantastic. Well, let's just dive right in. So let's get started.
Okay. So remember, we are doing website content that ranks on Google. So when I say website content, I'm talking about content that is either a page on the website where, you know, if somebody searches for it, they can go and find that page. It's called the page on the website versus a blog. So this mostly will work on both, but today I'm covering the website pages. So the first thing is make sure that the content is done for the humans, not for the robots. Okay. Mm-hmm. In other words, intention of who is going to read. This is where half of the industries go wrong, because let's say if you're a lawyer, you have to write your content and then the SEO ring comes in and says, hey, you know, your content is not doing good because you don't have the keywords. Now the lawyer is totally confused and he gives his, you know, his business to somebody who is going to completely destroy his website. So make sure that your content is done for the humans. Now, in this example, if you are a divorce lawyer, I'm going to guide you in this discussion further along this way, what you need to have, and I'll give you the guidance. So the first principle is it must be easy to read. And I'm bringing this knowledge from a legal point of view since we are talking here. So a case study here. So I work with a lawyer, and he's obviously lawyers spend a lot of time and money to go to the law school. So when they write their own content, they make it so complicated. They put statutes and things like that. That's important. But remember, your audience is not another lawyer. Your audience is people that are going to search for you because they need you. So try to keep the content simple. And when I say simple, it needs to be like an eighth grade simple, you know. Mm. So a person with the eighth grade education can read that. Now, there are tools out there. There is a tool called Flash Kincaid tool out there on the internet. You can copy and paste your article and it'll say, yeah, this is for the 16th grade or this is for the eighth grade. So just remember that. And we'll put those resources in the show notes so they can go to the right place. So easy to read is very, very important. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The next step is who is going to consume this content? So going back to the lawyer example, if your target market that you're working is Los Angeles, California, and you are in the business of family and divorce law, then your target audience is people that are looking for family lawyer, that are looking for child custody lawyer, that are looking for business and divorce lawyer. So your content must address the needs of those people. So content consumption, it has to be written in that way. So I'm going to now give you some tips of how to structure that content. Should I go along or do you have any questions along?
So I get the idea to make it simple, and that's a great way that you position it. So meaning it's not statutes, you've got to think about the end user and who's actually reading it, and then the structure is going to make sense. So no, I follow you so far. Let's keep going.
Okay. So the first step in when you're putting your content, make it bite-sized. So if your content is, you know, let's say 1,000 words, make it bite-sized. So make your paragraphs short and make the sentences no more than 300 characters. And you may ask me, why the 300 character limit, right? Mm. So Google, if you ever search on Google for whatever terms you search on, Adam, Google has started to show in search results these boxes that come up. They're called search snippet. You know, people always ask for search related to those boxes will show up if your content is in the 300 character range because they are trying to give you the answer. Those are called zero results. So if you write your content with short character limits, then your chance of showing up in those answer boxes will be quite prominent and your content will start to show up. If you have long paragraphs, obviously it's not going to show up. So that's the reason I like to keep my content simple. The next tip I give is try to write your content with bullet points and numbered lists. So if you're trying to explain something instead of a long paragraph, explain that in the bullet points because bullet points are easy to consume. They're easy to read. As a result, the user doesn't get confused because the user has short fish memory. You know, it's like used to be 9 seconds. It's probably like 3 seconds now. They do a search. If your piece of content is too long and it's hard to understand, they're going to jump off and go to a website that has easier content. So it's better that it's put it into bullet points, number list, etc. The next thing in writing the structure of content, I'm talking about the user design now, is break your headings and subheadings. So if you have few paragraphs, break it down into headings, you know, and subheads. So normally an article or a web page has a heading, you know, like the VIP services, blah, blah, blah. But then you need to have a subheading. So you explain everything in a subhead. So why do you need a divorce lawyer? Like that may be your heading. And then why do you need a divorce lawyer who handles child custody is a subheading. So you want to put that in the subheadings. So far, so good.
Oh, so far, so great. And the bullet point part of it. And the funny thing is as you explain this, I think back and I think sometimes as content creators and as just people that are like doing like I like to go back to the review answer. Reviews matter on a product. When you go shopping, you look for a review, right? So like that's what you do. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you think about other people doing that when they're looking for your product? They're looking at reviews also. So when you're thinking about content, what you just now said about making it simple and putting bullet points and things like that, that's the way I like to digest content. I do exactly what you just described. Exactly. So when I'm thinking as a content creator about what to do on my website, why do I not do that same thing that I do that I like? Other people like it too. That's why it's our behavior. So like if you even just do that self-reflection, it becomes kind of obvious. So as you were saying that I'm taking notes and I'm laughing because like, yep, that's exactly what I do. And I've been guilty of making the mistake of what you said not to do in the past. Now we're a little bit better, you know, years later, but I didn't know that in the beginning. So if you're listening to this right now and you're questioning it, just think about it this way. You do the same thing too, very likely. Like you're looking for the quick content that you can digest. You're looking for the bullet points and the headings so you know you're on the right page, and then you decide if you want to dig deeper. All right, continue. I just had to throw that out there.
All right. So the next thing is now, the first thing, just to recap, I told you that we are writing simple content. The second thing is we are writing for the person. I gave you user aspect, in other words, bullet points, numbered list, headings. The next thing is now we want to think about the audience. Who is the person that is going to read? So in this case, an example, we are talking about a divorce lawyer's web page. So the first thing you always want to handle in a page that you're creating is who is reading it, which we actually talked about. Now, how does your law firm differentiate? Okay, the very first thing is, how does your law firm differentiate? Start explaining, instead of selling to the person, what is it that I should be looking at to see that Adam Torres is the lawyer that I want to go to. So explain, why should you be the one that I should talk to? So that's the how, right? The very first thing. The second thing is the moment you have interrupted me, okay, well, I have a lot of experience in divorce law. I have a lot of people, you know, I even helped Tiger Woods' wife, etc. Example number. So now that you do that, the next thing, basically what you did was you suspended my belief as I'm looking on the website, because we normally come with beliefs and you have to suspend them so we can keep going. Now the person's brain is thinking, well, okay, Adam is a great lawyer. Well, will it be right for me? So the next thing I always put in the psychology of writing is, what is the pain of the audience? Okay, the pain is not, I'm not talking about the physical pain. I'm talking about what is it, the problem that you can solve uniquely for that person. So address the pain at the very beginning. In other words, what are the pains of people that are going through divorce? And this is better done by answering it through the questions. So for example, collect a lot of questions. You know, when a phone rings and the divorce lawyer, usually his calls come in and they are done through an intake system or a receptionist, and they have a question, you know, do you do this type of divorce, etc. So they have all those questions. Put all those questions in an answer, okay? And I call them should ask questions. They are not frequently asked questions, but those are the should ask questions that you put it before. After you have told the client what you do, is like, what are the questions they have their own mind? Because they are going to be really happy when you have answered those questions right at the very beginning. I call them the should ask questions. So after those questions are explained, they are going to trust you more because they feel that this guy has handled all type of divorces. Now, what are these questions? I'll just give you some case examples. How much does a divorce lawyer cost in LA? The cost question is always on people's mind. Well, can I afford this divorce, you know? So that's a cost question. How much does it cost to hire a divorce lawyer in California? Do I have to pay in advance or will my spouse pay? So there are few questions you have. Everybody has those questions. All you have to do is put it all together and put it on your website.
Man, that makes so much sense. And then, and I guess the thing that comes to my mind is that, like, so we have an FAQ section about one of our, about like our podcast on the very bottom of our page. And that's kind of like the page where people go to apply to come on the schedule, so, or to be on the show. And the FAQs from that probably took, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds, probably actually now up to this point, thousands of questions and responses to narrow down to those over time, right? So, like, it seems like over time, those questions can be refined. Like, you can do a lot of different things with it, but that's kind of like your direct feedback from your audience.
Correct. And that is the right feedback. It's not made up. Those are questions that everybody has. And that helps you find the right kind of customer, because you can't solve problem for everybody. But if you have the right kind of questions, then your intake is going to be much cleaner and you will have better conversion. Okay.
Awesome.
So the next thing, and this is called objection handling. And I'll give you an example. So let me explain to you. So I used to work for a company that's called Oracle. They're a California based company, one of the largest companies. And our company was the most sought out company when it was related to accounting software, or what's called the ERP world, enterprise resource planning and manufacturing. So when I joined the company, I learned their structure. And when I would go to the client, the biggest question the client, and I was not in sales, I was in implementation, but they would ask that question from the client salespeople, that Oracle is such a expensive software and it's such a complicated software that why would we pay for this software? Because at the same time, Microsoft had just released a product and that was easy to use. And our software was like $2 million and Microsoft was like $200,000. But companies needed Oracle. They could not. So their biggest question was, you guys are too complicated. Price was not an issue, but it was a too complicated software. So I came up with, after discussing with our lead team, I said, you know what? We get this question all the time. What can we do to solve this? So we talked to the engineering team and they said, well, you know, that's how we are. And that was their answer, that we are the best software company. And as a result, we are just too complicated. So that wasn't something I couldn't use. So I then talked to the sales team and they said that before you go to the sales meeting and they ask you that question, right away you answer that question. Hey, Mr. CEO, Oracle is not a cheap software and we are a very complicated software. But let me tell you how we make things easy. Because before they ask you that objection, you already handled that objection. And once you handled it the first way, they don't ask you that question because you kind of handle the objection. So in the same way, in your web copy, if you feel that your client will not be able to use your services because you are too complicated or that divorce takes too long of a time, answer those objections right away, because the person likes to understand that better, especially when they are moving away from one lawyer to another. They have already talked to a lawyer. That guy is telling them, you know, it's going to be like 3 months, but he'll keep lying to them while you are saying, no, it will not take 3 months. It'll take a year, but this is final result. They much rather hear that in the right way rather than, you know, in the wrong way. So that always handles and it builds more credibility for the user.
I like the mindset of doing this while you're structuring your content and while what you're creating, because it's really, when we think about the website content, it makes sense. Like, it makes sense to do it this way and it's logical. And so I guess for the content creators out there and the writers and the people that are like planning this content out, it's kind of like just do what you would appreciate, right?
Yes, exactly. And the next thing is images. So I was asked this question today. And I'll give you some context. So a lot of people would build a page of content and they will put a picture of the CEO or the divorce lawyer. Yeah, that's important. You need to have some, you know, eye candy for that. But another image would be if you put the image of, let's say if you have a graph or statistic data that shows that in California, It takes 6 to 9 months based on the data that you've gathered. You can use software like Tableau or Excel or whatever. You can plot that data and show it in an image because A, an image is easy to consume than reading the content because nobody wants to read statistical data, especially when they're getting a divorce. But if you show them in an image, you know, they are easy to understand. The other benefit of the image is that because Google is universal, Google has content, then it's got images, then it's got the news, then it's got the videos. So your image also indexes that in the image search. So if somebody was searching for, you know, best divorce lawyer in LA, and if your image shows up with some distressed stats, you're more likely to click on that and then ultimately go to the resource page or the content page. So images are really, really good for that kind of user behavior. And of course, if you have any videos, podcasts like this, so if you have a client that you have done a podcast with, they need to embed that video right in that page. Even that it was done an interview with Mission Matters, Adam Torres interviewing, you know, an influencer who's a divorce lawyer. Take that video, put it in, because that's going to help build your trust and the brand trust that you're trying to do.
Awesome. So the idea, so multimedia content matters. If you have a podcast, if you have video, if you have it like then embed it. Awesome.
Absolutely. Now, the next thing is when you are thinking about content, the very important thing that will take you a long way is you want this content to be found, because remember, our topic is how to write website content that ranks on Google. So you want to not rely after writing the content on the SEO guy, because the SEO guy will come back and he says, Adam, your page is great, but you don't have the right keywords. And, you know, this will take me months to rank it. And they're going to help you rewrite the content. And that's not good, because now that you all the work that you did is gone. So what you want to do is do your own keyword research when you're writing the content. And maybe at that point, you know, you don't even need an SEO. So how do you find the keyword research? Now, there are many, many tools, and I can tell you to go and buy some tools, but, you know, I'm a frugal innovator. So what I do is open up Google. So when you write your content, open up Google and think like, what would you do to search for a divorce lawyer if you were looking for one? And most likely you're going to type very first thing you're going to be doing is divorce lawyer in LA. So I did the same thing. So when you do that, right towards the end, so when you do a search, you go towards the end, you will see in Google, Google will show you completely at the end before it shows you page 2, 3, 4, 5. It'll show something called related searches, okay? And in the relate search, it will show you the terms that people are typing related to divorce lawyer in LA. So what's the one term that it shows you? It's called female divorce attorney Los Angeles. So Google is telling you that if you're a female divorce attorney, use it. Even if you're not a female, then use it and say, hey, I'm not a female divorce attorney, but I can still help you with your case. So however you write your content, that is the term that you want to use. The next term is famous divorce attorney. So use the word famous. Use the word affordable. They are using free, near me, fees, etc. Top rated, best, etc. So all the terms that are relevant to you, pepper them in the content so they read good English. You don't have to keyword stuff them, but you can do it in a manner that your content reads, and that's what you need to write your content. Okay?
Man, that's great. And a lot of what you're saying, yeah, it's the fundamentals. I mean, it sounds like the fundamentals of what you should be doing. This is awesome. These are great tips. I'm going to continue taking notes. Keep going.
Right. So after you have done, so you started with intent. You thought what your content is going to be about. You did your keyword research. After you're done with the content, now you need to break that content down into headlines. So your headline is going to be, you know, best divorce lawyer in LA, for example, you know, call Adam Torres. Okay. Now that's your keyword. Best divorce lawyer in LA is the very highly searched term. If you're a best rated divorce lawyer, because most lawyers have these ratings, like they're rated by big magazines, by super lawyers, use it. So once you have that term, then right below you explain everything that I've told you, and you have now prepared your content, and then the content is going to be ready. It's going to have all the paragraphs, all the keywords have been peppered in. You have put in your statistics, images, and videos. Now you go in and throw that content either through a web design team or an SEO team who you work with, give it to them. At that point, your content is ready. In the next section, as we're going to keep continuing to do this, I'll show you after you've written a good content, how do you get your word out so you are getting found on Google? Because there are two steps to the process. One step is on page. This is the page content that you are going to write on. The next step is, what is the next step you need to do to get this page found on Google? So 50% of the work is done. The rest will come to episode number two, staying on the same topic, how to get found on Google with the right kind of content.
Man, Kamar, you're leaving us with a cliffhanger here.
Yeah.
This is good. I'm like, man, I can't wait till our next episode to get into this side of things. But as always, teaching a masterclass. So, and obviously we covered a lot today, and I recommend everybody else watching this or listening to this also take notes, listen to this one again. This is a lot of content, very heavy and rich in terms of tips and what you should be doing. So what do you find? So based on, you know, kind of what we reviewed, and I know this could go a lot of different ways, but what do you find are some of the top things that people miss in doing this? Like, what's the thing that, like, over and over and over again, like, because I know people submit content to you all the time through Kiss PR. Like, what do you find that people, like, are constantly making the mistake?
Most people, the biggest mistake they do is the content is heavily done. Too much keywords are done, which is not organic, because they have been made to believe that they need to throw a lot of keywords. So they are over-optimized content pieces. So we have to dumb it down. The other problem is the content is not, especially when it's coming from the lawyer industry, it's so complicated that if you read it, you would not understand it. So we have to tell them to make it easy for consumption. And that's the biggest challenge. You know, I work with lawyers. They're great in writing, but they're not very good in closing. And the web pages are your closing. If you don't get a phone call, then obviously you are not getting any leads. So the closing is actually done by the web page, and then the person has to pick up the phone and call you. At that time, you know, they're pretty much sold because lawyers are not salespeople. You know, you either need a lawyer or not. But if your website has not done a good job of closing itself, then you leave the loop. So that's the biggest challenge we get, is the content is not done in the right manner.
I can see that completely. So this has been great, Kamar. I mean, again, this is the first part. We got more parts coming up. We're going to go through more. We're going to go further down this user journey on how to create great content in the next part of this, and that gets on Google. So that being said, I do want to give the opportunity. I know some people want more information sooner than the next episode. So I want to give you the opportunity to leave your contact information or Kiss PR. Like, how do people, well, final question, two-part question. Number one, what are typically the right types of clients that get the most value out of working with you and your team at Kiss PR, number one? And number two, what's the best way for people to follow up to connect?
So to answer your two-part question, I prefer clients where I can teach them and they can do their work. We don't mind doing the work for them, but these days it's a, you know, do-it-yourself type of people, because everybody's so smart that they can do the research. So we've tried to train people, and once we have trained them, then we can kind of handhold them. And once they have become first page on Google, you know, they can just keep consulting us. And that's the best way, because when a client is fully involved, they feel that they are learning the process and they enjoy the process, rather than I do all the work and, you know, they just pay us. We have those clients as well, but I personally prefer clients where I can teach them, so they can continue to do this on their own, and I can become a mentor for them. That's why we have this masterclass in marketing. Of course, if they want to find me and, you know, ping me for free, we don't charge them. We just discuss, because I believe that you know, if you're an educator, you will always get compensated somehow. So kisspr.com is the only place they can go. Very simple, KISSPR. Keep it super simple. PR stands for predictable results. And that's what we teach you to do for yourself.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, Kumar, thank you again for coming on the show. Always enjoy when you come on and co-host with me. So this has been awesome. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, don't forget, hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based businesses and entrepreneurs coming on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Kumar, as always, it's been a pleasure and can't wait to the next one.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.